College basketball fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss everything going on in the world of college basketball. Now, we try to keep it on the court. Every once in a while, we venture off the court, but there's so much going on the court these days that we have a whole lot to talk about, really dating back to last Wednesday. In the Big East, you know, with Seton Hall and Nova and what happened from there. You know, we've been documenting a couple of these conferences, whether it was the Big Ten, whether it was the Big East, the top part of the ACC, the AAC. We've been just kind of week by week going over and kind of amazed how strong some of these conferences are as far as competition. We'll see if they, you know, spit out a national champion. But just to watch these conference races. I mean, the Big East a couple of weeks ago, Seton Hall had a 3-game lead, and that came all crashing down. So we're going to recap the last chunk of days and how it all wore down. And the regular season's over now. College basketball regular season is over. It is March 9th as we speak. And the conference tournaments, some of them have already taken place. We do have some programs, some teams in the tournament already. We got some going on as we speak. And then, you know, by Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, it is going to be all, you know, conference tourney stuff. So, obviously, we can't really do our preview and predictions, you know, on this podcast because we're not going to preview – you know, something that we don't know the matchup for. But as we, you know, we're going to start with a recap. Then when we go through these conferences like we normally do to keep, you know, keep you up with the standings, just to kind of, we're kind of, I don't know, we can kind of combo that with the bracketology to really see what are the strong teams, who's pointing upwards, who's going down, talking to you, Baylor. There's a lot of teams out there talking to you, Penn State. Are you still ready to just put Penn State in the Sweet 16 after 5 out of 6? These are the type of things that we're going to discuss on today's College Ball Show podcast. And, by the way, if this is your first time listening to the show, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoveradio. It streams live at archives. However, to listen to the College Ball Show under the Rope It Up Radio podcast, you don't just have to listen to it or download it from Blog Talk. You can check it out on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really all across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found all across the board. I forgot to mention Spotify as well. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. That's thegruelingtruth.com. It's basketball, football, baseball, boxing, everything in between. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you have and you're just not quite happy, you need something, right? Even if you have, like with the tournament coming up, you know, CBS is going to have a bunch of games because there's 3 other channels, and those are all on cable. So I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. There's a 7-day free trial, but the plans start as low as $60 a month. There's no annual contract to tie you down. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR as well. That's AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. However, another option, just in case where you live, your internet is just, it's just bad. You know, there's plenty of places in this country where the internet just sucks, I understand. You could try AT&T TV. That's in limited parts of the country here in Minneapolis, New York, Florida, California, up in the Northwest in Seattle, Texas. So it's kind of all over the place. It's a growing network. It's called AT&T TV. Just Google it, put your area code in there, and see if it's in your area. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall, and see what he's doing. Well, it's spring break for Marshall, so he's probably just, you know, just crushing ice houses, trying to think of like the what hams or God, what else? Just trying to think of some old school beers up here in the Midwest for the now Texas boy. But how you doing down there in the Southland? And we're gonna speak of the Southland here pretty soon, the Southland Conference. But how you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. It's spring break, so I teach kids for a whole week, and being a basketball guy, I mean, this is not next week, but it's still pretty good. You have ACC tournament starts tomorrow, and I mean, you literally have basketball nonstop for the next 7 days.
What are the odds that your North Takalaka Tar Heels make a run through this tournament?
People are saying they can't. I mean, literally, I mean, they weren't, they're okay. They're not good, but their offense when clicking is still really good. I mean, I still think they're like top five in rebounding in the country. They, you know, they have a healthy team again. Like, could they win the whole tournament? Highly doubtful. Could they win a couple of games and ruin some people's seasons or bubbles? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, they couldn't have played any worse. And in fairness to them, I mean, obviously a win-loss record, it's never going to change. But they did have like four buzzer-beater losses. So is this team completely trash? No. You know, and I hope they win tomorrow and make a deep little run and see what happens. But, I mean, nowadays, Chris, with the ACC as big as it is, I mean, you'd have to – hell, I think they'd have to win five games. And, I mean, that's just ridiculous. I was watching
like
a gambling
the
show. I know.
That's like the old Big East, how Syracuse had to win 5-5.
You're right. You're right. And I think they're 60-1 odds to win the ACC tournament. I mean, so obviously that's probably
good. So you're saying
good.
There's a chance.
I mean, that's relatively good value, but – you'd still have to probably,
if you put $4 on it, it's really good value.
You would have to beat Florida State. You'd have to beat the combination of Florida State, Duke, Louisville, Virginia, beat two out of those four teams. And that's just more likely not happening. Again, can we score offensively? Yeah, but defensively, probably not. So, I mean, it'll be fun to watch, though, nonetheless. And speaking of that, one reason I mentioned the week we get to enjoy is really because of how fun it is to kind of watch these smaller conferences. Now, realistically, are any of these small conference teams going to win a title? No. But they can ruin your bracket. And the thing I truly enjoy most about is a lot of these tournaments that are either at a venue, like, you know, close locationally, or a lot of these smaller schools, they get home court advantage. And I've always just thought it's kind of cool to have – you know, you're playing for your conference, or you're playing for a berth in March Madness, and you got your home crowd. Now, I know that they would never go back to that, like the Big Ten or the ACC, because you lose a lot of money with advertising, and obviously, you know, you got more schools and all the money and stuff. But, I mean, it would be kind of cool if Wisconsin, you know, was hosting, like, you know, or whoever, like, was hosting conference tournament games. And it's just... it's such a frenzy in the crowd, and obviously the small schools, when they clinch, like most small schools, if you don't win your conference tournament, you're not going to the tournament at all. So I was just like, this time of year, Chris, the way I said that you get to see the small schools, they get a little publicity. Again, you might as well watch a little bit, because you're going to want to pick one or two in your bracket, or maybe three or four. And yeah, it's a fun time of the year to watch basketball, my friend.
It really is, man. It really is. And it's all coming to a head here. The next month is ridiculous. College basketball takes over. You can even tell, like, in other sports like boxing, you know, there's really not that many big fights going on. They're just more like mid-level, prospect-level stuff going on, just because they know, why hype up a huge fight, you know, if that's the case. I mean, last year there was a big fight, you know, this week, but still, you don't see too many of them. And just real quick, how it all kind of played out the last chunk of days. We got to go back to Wednesday. Villanova got a big win on the road at Seton Hall. That was a big, big game. Ohio State got a nice win with Illinois visiting them. UConn beat Houston. That one kind of surprised me a little bit, to say the least. But then on Saturday, You know, Kansas and Texas Tech actually had a really, really tight game. The wheels are off right now with Baylor. They lose on the road. I was looking at that one, too, like, could this happen? No, they've already lost a couple times. They got their stuff back. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to say it. I picked Florida to beat Kentucky because they already had the SEC wrapped up. And then when I saw the first part of the game and then the fact that What's-His-Toes wasn't there, their point guard, I was like, dude, this is going to happen. And then Kentucky won anyway. But a couple of the big, big matchups on that day. Creighton beat Seton Hall 77-60. We'll talk about what that means inside the conference. Same with Virginia, 57-54 over Louisville. We both called that one, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, there was a variety of big games, and even if you get there on Sunday, Maryland, you know, cleaned up on Michigan 83-80. Michigan State beat Ohio State 80-69. Illinois just snuck by Iowa 78-76, and Houston beat Memphis 64-57. Those were all, like, really high-profile games considering this is just the last week. I mean, there was, like, besides Wisconsin, everybody that was, you know, that the other three, and technically kind of four because they were lingering Illinois, those teams had to close on ranked back-to-back games against ranked teams. It's just a crazy, crazy way to close. But let's start. I'm going to save you on the Penn State, okay? I'll let you live for a couple of minutes. But Kansas is like, hey, remember us? We got a big three, and one of them 6'11 and like 280. We're pretty good. We're pretty decent. We got our shit together. And, oh, by the way, the second-best team, Baylor, has fallen off a bit. Now, how much do you believe in Kansas, one, and then how much is this last chunk of the season is it a sign of what's to come for Baylor? Or, you know, can they in these next couple of games figure it out, get their mojo back, and then go from there? I mean, Kansas is for real, dude. They got the pieces.
I hate saying that, but yeah.
I was about to say, as much as you hate saying it.
But, yeah, I mean, they're going to make
second in wins now, by the way, behind Kentucky. I just figured I'd update you on the all-time list. It doesn't include North Carolina on the top two, just so you know.
I'm sure they'll make another good run like they're normally doing. I'm sure there's always some bullshit they're going to have, like all their games in like Missouri or Kansas City. Kansas never travels anywhere even remotely from Kansas or whatever state you think Kansas Chiefs play in, you know, for all we know, that Missouri, Kansas, something. Yeah, they're a good squad. And, I mean, you know, they didn't get as maybe quite as much media as they normally got start of the year. They've been in a little trouble. You know, end of the year, they win the Big 12 yet again. Now, if we ever say that for a football podcast, Chris, then we could really have a hell of a podcast. We'd probably have to do an hour just on KU winning the Big 12. But anyway.
Yeah, right.
That'd be something.
We'd probably start a KU podcast at that point.
I might actually just quit watching Big 12 football for a year if KU ever wins, because something massively went wrong with Texas Tech, OU, and everyone else involved. But moving on from that, to go to Baylor, again, I'm not surprised they lost. Again, you know, you still have one of the best resumes in the country. And do you need to win the Big 12 to put yourself back on the map? No, but you have to have a couple of good games. Because we do see this every year where there will be a couple of teams who had a really nice season, and then whether it's the end of the regular season or end of a conference tournament, like
right.
No-show, that it can really hurt you. Now, for the sake of Baylor, they should still be favored to win a couple of games in their conference tournament. But, you know, you laid an egg. Now, if you come out and get beat your first Big 12 tournament game, then there is probably reason for concern of, holy shit, guys, we were number one team for over a month, and right. We have an actual lot of fear even in our first round game. You know, and I mean,
and
it sounds kind
of
crazy.
They have a lot of quality wins, too. Like, they're not just some bummy, overrated, hey, we just ran into, you know, to the top spot because all these teams lost, you know?
Yeah, and you know, they are probably going to be a one or a two, but as we've seen, nothing is ever a guarantee anymore. And okay, maybe you beat the 16 seed, you're still going to get a super good test from the 8 or 9. So I think if you're a Baylor fan, you want to see, you know, see the team gain some confidence again, get back into a rhythm. You know, maybe you want to see a certain player get hot. I don't know Baylor quite as well as I know my Tar Heels or, you know, like, you know, your Gophers. But, you know, have some guys get going, and then you go into the tournament saying, okay, we found our group again. We're good. Now, again, they don't need to win the Big 12 tournament, in my opinion, to have confidence back, but you should probably want to win two games. You know, I'm sure they're getting a bye or something. But, yeah, Chris, you get something rolling, because for a while there, man, they were the top dog. They were maybe going to win the Big 12 tournament because they had beat Kansas. I mean, everything was looking good. And maybe it was confidence. Maybe it was being cocky. Maybe the law of averages just came to play out. But you need some momentum because we have seen, Chris, every year where that badass team has a flat game in the conference tournament. Next thing you know, they're out on your March Madness bubble sheet because they fell flat again.
Yeah, it's interesting. And we've also seen, you know, like a semifinal exit from a really good team, and then it's no big deal. They actually get a little bit more rest, and they're just fine.
True.
So,
absolutely.
But that's not in the conference. You know, this is how they closed the conference. They closed it very mediocre. So it's a little bit different. You know who didn't close the conference mediocre? Well, and who did? Seton Hall and Creighton. Creighton, it was 32-32 in the first half, looking like it was going to be a game that went all the way down the wire, even into the second half. But Creighton just slowly but surely took them out and won the second half 45-28. And like I said, a couple of we've been saying this a couple of weeks ago. It was a three-game lead, you know, for Seton Hall. And, you know, Creighton did drop the ball somehow against St. John's. And not just drop the ball. They gave up 91 points, 91-79. So I
you
guess
really
I can't
bring that up again.
Well, I guess
you, my money.
But, you know, then you can only really look back at a loss at Providence. They just beat Seton Hall back to back times they faced them. They won at Villanova. I mean, I'm looking back, so I have to go back to January 15th. And there's only, since that loss, there was only, besides the loss we talked about, I won't mention it again, but there's only one other loss since that time. And, you know, back to back against Seton Hall at Marquette, Butler, like, handled Butler, too, 81-59. I mean, this squad, talk about momentum, you know, the momentum of falling apart like Seton Hall did, and Creighton right there to swoop in, and, you know, obviously it's a tie for conference, but it really shouldn't be, you know what I mean? It really shouldn't be, because they beat them twice. They beat Seton Hall twice. Did they play Villanova twice? They lost to Villanova and won, beat Villanova. But talk about, you know, two teams going the opposite ways down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Seton Hall finished the year 5-6. And for a while, they were getting the clout like Baylor, or clout of, like, being a really, really good team. But again, I made a dumb comment on the first show of the year saying that, hey, Miles Powell could be a player of the year. Now, is Miles Powell good? Yes. Well, part of the reason Seton Hall didn't have a great finish of the year is the fact that he was not a consistently steady great player. He's actually been a good player this year. On games that Seton Hall's won, sure, he gets some praise, but also they got that Quincy McKnight who's pretty good. They got a dude with a super long last name like Malcolm Lamura who's actually not too bad, and they have a center that blocks shots. So I think people's preconception of Seton Hall was, man, you got Miles Powell, you're going to be a good squad this year. Well, actually, he's kind of had, I would say, a little bit of a lesser year, and you've kind of had to play more of a team. And as you said a couple times, Chris, they're not a good rebounding team. And their defense isn't actually that good. A lot of games they won this year, they'd had slow first halves. They came back to win because of their offense. They're defensively not a great team. And the reason that Creighton has taken advantage of Seton Hall both games was Creighton actually doesn't have a guy that can't score. They're actually really well offensive base with the three. So when I did watch Seton Hall play Creighton a couple times, Seton Hall would kind of have to guard like a five-out offense, and they're really not meant to do that. You know, so if you watch Seton Hall and come tournament time or even the Big East tournament, if they play a perimeter-based team, Seton Hall is going to struggle. If you can get the game into a true half-court matchup, Seton Hall is going to take advantage of that. Creighton's kind of the opposite. Creighton's going to jack up threes, play better defense than people think, and try to run up and down with you. So it's just kind of a variance of matchups, Chris. I know you know that from your basketball podcast that, you know, sometimes a better team might not always win on paper because the strategy plays out that way. I really think Seton Hall's chances of making a deep run in the tournament will be truly based on are you playing a run-and-gun team or are you playing a half-court team, because there really is – it seems to be a massive disadvantage for how effective Seton Hall can be with that scenario.
Yeah, and they kind of, you know, they, if you look at the non-conference, they had a very close game to Michigan State. They lost it, but it was close. Very close loss to Oregon, who's pretty solid this year. Lost at Rutgers, which is no big deal, right? We've seen Rutgers at home. But when they beat Maryland, that's when they really took off. It started to shine, and it looked like, wow, they're going to run away with this. And like I said, even a couple of weeks ago, they were up three games. But and Nova's just kind of there, you know, breaking down this conference.
Pesky. Nova,
yeah, they're pesky. They obviously have a great coach. They don't have a bunch of players that have a ton of, like, the championship pedigree that they had a little while ago. Not a bunch of those players are there, but they still managed in a very competitive league to be 13-5 is a three-way tie at the top of that. 13-5 13-5 13-5, and then Providence, who really closed the stretch, you know, fairly well. They won six in a row down the stretch to be one game short, dude. 12-6, and then you got Butler, who's still ranked. They were 10-8 in the conference. You got Marquette. Xavier's not a bad club as well. So,
and Chris, you mentioned Providence. I think they probably played themselves into the tournament or onto the bubble, because they were really kind of their start of the conference here wasn't too good, and they really don't have a super flashy player, but they're a really well coached, scrappy team. So, I know we're gonna get to bubble talk. But they're definitely one of those teams, along with many, many others this week, who are sitting on the bubble or praying to win a couple of games to get off the bubble. Xavier's definitely one of those teams involved in that scenario. Or, sorry, excuse me, Providence.
Yeah, and they, what was it, four or five top 25 teams? I can't remember. But they got a good debate, that's for sure. I think what killed Nova this year was – although it's a hell of a run to have to go through, but they lost to Creighton, lost to Butler, and then lost to Seton Hall. And, you know, and then they won at Marquette, which, you know, and they had won at Providence and beaten Butler before that, but that three game stretch ended up really affecting them, but you can't count them out. They could go deeper than both these other clubs. They have a win over Kansas. I think it was like a 1 or 2 point win, but hey, a win is a win is a win is a win. I would take about four or five more wins for my Gophers by one. If you could win by a .01 point, I would take those wins. So yeah, that's how that kind of closed out. As far as the American Athletic Conference, we were kind of keeping tabs on that. Wichita State, Tulsa, Cincinnati, Houston, all doing battle. It looked like Houston and Tulsa were kind of separating themselves, which they did. But here we go again, 13-5. We're going to hear that a lot this year. 13-5 again. All three, Houston, Cincinnati, and Tulsa, all 13-5, with Wichita 11-7, only two games back. Go ahead.
And here's something interesting about that, and I don't quite get it, because – I mean, I watch this team play. Tulsa's a pretty damn good team. They play really good defense. They have a great big, and they can shoot the three all right. But they're still on the bubble. I guess that their non-conference was really, really crappy, and they didn't put together any, like, tier one wins. I don't even think they put together any tier two.
Quadrants. So, they're quadrants. Quadrants, bro.
Yeah. Excuse me. I apologize. So for a team that was tied for first in a respectable, very well conference, they're still massively on the bubble. So it just seems strange to me, Chris. You're 21 and 10, tied for first in your conference, but my, oh my, did they do themselves no favors. I think they had two shitty losses too. But if you're looking for a team to maybe bet on for conference tournaments, you know, as we're, you know, let's say, for example, if we look at the ACC, like Florida State, Duke, Louisville, they're all in the tournament no matter what. They're probably getting pretty good seeds too. But for Tulsa, man, I guess that loss to Arkansas State and Texas Arlington, I pulled up their page, is still really a thorn in their butt because, you know, again, I don't know if I've ever, and I could be wrong, but if I've ever seen a team that's in like a basically a mid-major to respectable conference win the conference tournament, or excuse me, finish first year conference and not make the big tournament. You know, it's one thing for like North Dakota State or, you know, some really random schools to win the conference and not make because you lose the tournament. But holy man, I'm surprised. I hope Tulsa does make it.
And they lost to Colorado State at home.
I'm with you.
Lost to Kansas State. That'd have been a good chance to get. They got their ass kicked by Arkansas. And they lost to, you said that Arkansas State, not Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas is okay, but yeah, I think that they just didn't do enough. They didn't do anything in the non-conference in that. Yeah, that's interesting.
True. It just, you know, normally you would assume that what they've done in the regular season would solidify it. Because, I mean, hell, for regular season.
They beat Wichita State, and they beat Memphis 80-40.
And they beat
Houston.
And beat UConn, and UConn's a bubble team. Like,
is UConn a bubble team?
Yeah, they've actually been really hot. Yeah, UConn's actually on the bubble.
Wow.
So it'll just – and that tournament starts later in this week. But, man, again, if you're looking for a betting angle, look at Tulsa and see who they're playing because, my God, their motivation's got to be pretty high. So I would expect them, for the year they had, to win a couple of games and solidify their berth in. And we'll see how it goes. Again, I'm actually probably going to go to those games, too. It'll be kind of fun. Maybe give some inside reporting because tickets actually are really reasonable, so I'm kind of excited for that. But, yeah, just a weird story because you almost never see that scenario play out, but I've touched on it enough. But, yeah, the American will be a very fun conference to watch. And just for the sake of picking a team to win it, I'm going to go with the fact – I think that – Cincinnati.
I'm going with Tulsa. Screw it, man. They need it the most.
And I'll take Cincinnati to win. I think they'll win the conference tournament, and then they'll just get bounced out first round because whenever it does come to truly March Madness, they never have a defense to help them. But I'll take the Bearcats
Cincinnati
to win the American Conference.
Cincinnati doesn't
have a defense? No, they never seem to have an offense where it really matters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Their defense is always locked down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, boy, we're talking about the wrong sport or something.
Roy is having a couple of beers on the podcast. Uh-oh.
Yeah, because you called it a boxing or a basketball podcast a second ago instead of boxing. But that's okay. I say
times are hard. Times are hard.
Hey, that's okay. Dayton, I'm really excited to see how far Dayton goes in this tournament. They were 18-0 within the Atlantic 10, 29-2. We're not going to break them down too much, but just kind of wondering how far they're going to go. And if you look at the ACC, we talked about that. You had Florida State winning it 16-4, I should say. And then once again, here we go. You know, we talked about these four teams. Really, we talked about these three teams the whole year, but Virginia snuck up and bit them. 15-5, Virginia, Louisville, and Duke. That's how we wrap it up. You know, I think Florida State, speaking of defense, I think any of these teams could go far, all top four of these teams. I think they have a chance to go – I wouldn't favor anyone out of this group to go further than the other, to be honest with you. How strong do you think Florida State is being an ACC guy? And also, you know, we've seen some – they've had some pretty damn good teams, solid squads. They've made some runs. They just haven't, you know, gotten all the way to the Final Four just yet.
It would be really hard for me to put them, like, past the opening weekend. Just, I mean, we've seen so many – and, I mean, the proof is with their NBA guys. They have guys in the league who are doing great. But if
when you say past the opening weekend, so you're saying they can't make the Sweet 16, or you're saying anything past that, like past the Sweet 16?
I think they would struggle to make it to the Sweet 16 just because I've seen so many very talented, like NBA prospect-loaded teams. And, you know, Leonard Hamilton's always 11, 12 deep, always have a couple of really good centers. But, man, they always seem to struggle just making it either – it's normally to the Sweet 16. Now, does this team have potential to do it? Absolutely. Again, they're one of the better teams in the country. But we've given this speech a whole lot about this team. And, again, they've never made a deep, deep run. They've never made a Final Four. And on paper, you know, they always look so intriguing because if you let's say as a college basketball fan, your memory got cleaned out after each year. Oh, shit, Florida State, man, they look like a serious threat. But it's never quite there. So I'd be hesitant to put them past to put them in the Sweet 16 just because I've seen that story happen so much.
2 years ago, they made the Elite Eight, right? That was the furthest they went?
Yeah, and in between all those, it was just a bunch of great teams with a first or second round exit, unfortunately. Because, man, the talent's always there, Chris, but they never seem to quite have a deep run, besides the one you mentioned, with all the praise they normally get.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, man. They once they got in the conference, they do have a lot of quality wins, man. But, yeah, that kind of backs up my point in general. Although we may disagree, I think they can make it to Sweet 16, or they will make it to Sweet 16. But any of those four teams – I can't really make this huge argument that, oh, this one can't do that, that one can't. It just seems like they are who they are, and they kind of finish that way. Speaking of Kansas, you know, they once they beat Baylor on that second go-around, they just finished a lot stronger. They haven't lost a game in February. What are they up to now? Yeah, they haven't lost since that day. Oh God, I didn't even realize that. They haven't lost since January 11th, and that was, to Baylor. Otherwise, they've won this whole frickin' time. They beat Dayton. They beat a pretty good club in BYU in the non-conference. They lost a really close one to Duke, when Duke had more going on. Yeah, man. I mean, I know we just talked about it, so we're not going to break it down. But it's interesting how that goes. And then I don't know, man. The Big E or the Big Ten, though, which is the strongest conference? We'll see. Like I said, if a national, you know, a natty can come out of it. But dude, I mean, Wisconsin, Maryland, Michigan State. Obviously, Wisconsin being the most impressive. Them winning 14-6, all three of them. And then the Fighting Illini sitting there only one game out at 13 and 7. And even, you know, you got to stretch down to Rutgers. Then I forgot about this. Iowa, Ohio State, Penn State, and Rutgers, Marshall, all three games out to end. So, I mean, not only did you have a three-way tie at the top and then one game back, for the tie of fourth place, and it's I guess you could say it's a tie for – third, I guess you could say tied, you know what I mean, if you think about it that way, because it's a tie for first, then Illinois second, and then you have four teams all at 11-9, and I remember saying 10-10 would get my Gophers in, and there's Michigan sitting at 10-10, and they're going to be in. What a crazy way to just keep going with this conference. Who are the teams that could cut down the nets, though?
I just ran across this. And I'll answer that question. Pulling up the bubble situation. So of those, Lenardi is projecting 10 teams from the Big Ten to make it. Purdue is the one team that's worked through. They're considered the next four out, so I'm not sure that might even be the 11 team. But, and then just quickly to revisit one second, for the American Conference, Tulsa's on the next four out. So they're not even, like, in the tournament now. They got to do work. So does Wichita State. They're in the first four out. So is Memphis. So you want to talk about a lot of heart being put on the line for that American Conference tournament. Holy shit, three of your teams are on the bubble. Yeah, man, that, I guess that would make it even more fun for me to see. And for the Big East, Marquette's one of the last four byes in, and Xavier's one of the first four out. So, again, that'll be another enjoyable tournament. But for the Big Ten, teams that can cut the nets down, I think you have to just consider Sparty because of the school name and Izzo, okay? I don't think Wisconsin has the true players to make a deep run this year, but I don't think anyone really thought they'd potentially win the Big Ten either this year, Chris, but Wisconsin would surprise me completely. Maryland, they showed me more this year than normal. They won some games on their own, which they normally don't do. And for the Fighting Illini, I watched them last night. They cost me a good chunk of cash with a couple of bad beats. That Usamara, their star point guard start of the year, I'm not sure if they've kind of redefined roles or switched up how the team plays, but I remember that Usamara
figured him out.
Well, I mean, I remember when he played against Michigan this year, it was like he was carrying the team. Like, the dude was dropping almost 25 a game. And when they played against Iowa last night, like, he wasn't even, like, really the primary ball dribbler. Like, I'm not sure what had changed because, again, he's a lottery pick, but it's like they're feeding their big more than him. So I'm kind of confused with them. Iowa has a very talented big in Garza, but if you look at Iowa, they were really a very dominant home team with not much on the road. Ohio State, no way. And then, Chris, I'm still sticking to Penn State making the Sweet 16. So if
last
I had
five out of the last six, and you're not even blinking an eye.
No, sir. They're going Sweet 16.
So Florida State can't make the Sweet 16, so you got Penn State locked and loaded. And I'm not saying that can't happen. I'm just putting that out there, so we got that.
Well, I locked it in 2 weeks ago, and I can't go back on my word now. Penn State.
I mean, you locked that in. You locked that. You said it earlier than that, though. So we got to give credit if it happens. Then you locked it in. You stood by it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they've only lost since. So maybe you should say the opposite. They'll get on another streak.
Well, I'll say this: if I bet them to make the Sweet 16, I think I'll win a little bit of cash.
I would say so. That's all they were doing. They were just like, oh, we'll just back our way in, no problem. That's interesting. That's really God, interesting.
That's just crazy, though, that, yeah, So as of now, Lenardi has nine teams in, and Purdue is the one Big Ten team with some work to do. And again, for that Big Ten conference, man,
well,
you want to watch.
Well, it's going to suck for somebody because the Gophers are going to win the Big Ten tourney, so that's going to suck.
Yeah, well, that's stealing a bubble spot, sir. What up?
They'll still get in as like a 12 seed if they win the damn. they'll be like, well, we made a special game for them. They actually have to play the Lakers bench. So just looking at this bracketology, because that's basically where we're at now. You know, BYU got them as a fifth seed. I know they beat Gonzaga. I get it. I get that. Well, they kind of smoked Gonzaga, if I remember correctly. So I get that. Then they beat UCLA. Good little club. Decent little club. They did beat Houston. But a fifth seed, it just seems kind of like you're going off their win-loss record more than you're going off of. I don't know. I just see some teams where I'm like, so that's a fifth seed, huh? Okay. I mean, these aren't official seeds, as we know. It's called bracketology. But that one kind of throws me off a tad bit. Not to say they're not a good club, because they are, but it just seems like, are you worthy of a fifth seed? I guess so, off your win-and-loss record. Auburn is a fifth seed, basically, like, off the strength of what they did earlier, because they really closed pretty crappy. Virginia sitting at a 6 seed, even though they finished second. But, you know, the non-conference wasn't great for them, but they did pick it up.
Hey, my Penn State boys are a 6 seed, too.
That's right. And they got to go against Texas or NC State in the bracketology. And then they got Seton Hall to go to the Sweet 16 in the bracketology, of course. But when you look at some of these, we're not going to break down all these matchups or anything like that. But, man, when you see these seeds, though, yeah, the first round's going to be plenty fun. But that second round, dude, you know, that the round of 32, oh, my God. Talk about a fair amount of, like, I'm not going to say pick 'em games, but, you know, it gets in that realm, dude. You know, it gets in that realm. And this thing, dude, this is going to be fun, man. This is going to be great.
Well, normally that, like, I always go on that basketball trip, and there's a lot of times where, okay, your first 2 days, Thursday and Friday, are always fun. But normally, either Saturday or Sunday is kind of one of those days that's kind of chill, where you get some shock and there's not a buzzer beater. It's kind of like, oh, you know, today was fun. Let's hope tomorrow's better. I don't think we get the chill day where there's chalk, because
it'll just never stop.
There's not going to be a whole lot of chalk this year, as even as that is. This is going to be so much fun.
There's going to be a lot of close games. You know what I mean? Like, forget the chalk or whatever. It's going to be like, even if you do win, definitely there's going to be some scrappy games that come down to the wire, just because it's just everyone's so evenly matched. Like, who's the team besides Kansas in the last couple of months, or last few weeks, I should say, who's the team that stand out as that team right there can win the national championship? Besides Kansas. And you were saying Baylor before, right? Who else were you saying? Who else were we saying?
That could win the championship?
Well, like, as far as a team you could point to and go, that's the top team.
Oh.
Pretty for sure. Not could. I put it the wrong way. I'm saying the last couple of weeks, Kansas is like basically, you know, stamping their name as the number one club, in my opinion. Just straight up. But before that was Butler, in my opinion. I don't think Gonzaga is what they were, but they're damn good. Creighton, close, strong. But, I mean, yeah, there's not really, besides Kansas right now, who's that other team that you can be like, that's for sure the number two team in the country. Once we get to March Madness and not this ranking system. Because I know people will be like, oh, Gonzaga. Yeah, okay, but are they going to go to the Final Four for sure? Like, this is crazy, dude. This is going to be I know we've been saying it, but it just keeps, every week it kept building to like, dude, this is really going to be a crazy close. And for to have three or four conferences with this many teams tying for the conference, the amount of co-champs, it's like the Big 12 a couple years back with the co-champs. Remember they wanted to hold on? No, we'd rather co-champ than have a conference final because it helps us in recruiting. I mean, a lot of recruiters are going to be helpful this year because we had about 15 different co-champs this year, dude, out of three or four conferences.
Well, and I know these aren't true, but let's just say hypothetically, because Lenardi normally is pretty accurate, let's just say that some of these were true. So for your first Saturday, Sunday of the tournament, you could see a potential Villanova, Michigan, Maryland, Butler. That'd be a hell of a game. Ohio State, Louisville, Penn State, Seton Hall.
Same with Kentucky just getting to the Sweet 16. They'd have Illinois or Marquette, dude.
And that's Marquette's got one of the best. Got one of the best scorers in the country. I mean, Oregon, Auburn, pretty much every Virginia, Michigan State.
LSU, Rutgers in the first round. That's who Baylor have to play with in their second round.
Wisconsin, BYU. Like, okay, BYU scores about 80 a game. Wisconsin's the opposite. Like, normally, everything we just said is normally your Sweet 16 matchups. But we literally are going to have the second round feel like a Sweet 16, which is going to be just badass. I can't wait, man. I think I might come down with a sick or a little cold too that opening Thursday or Friday, because I've been granted permission by those who deal with my employment. I can't wait for this tournament, brother.
Yeah. Well, we're just going to go in circles here. Anything else that you want to talk about here?
Yeah, let me just make one point for the, and then we, because we could talk about bracketology forever. The one thing, I think Dayton now is going to get some of the Gonzaga treatment, okay? Because, I mean, we know Gonzaga is a one right now. Unless they lose tonight to San Fran, you know, we'll see. Baylor, Kansas, like, we know Baylor, Kansas, Gonzaga, Chris, are legit teams. Dayton, this is the first year they've been a really good team. They're normally a bubble team. I think they've actually had a couple of play-in games or the very start of the tournament games, and I know that they always host that too. But for news for Dayton, okay, they're in a respectable conference. Atlantic 10 isn't a joke. And you have Obi Toppin, who many believe is the best player in the country. So if you're curious about Dayton, you haven't seen him play.
They I heard he can dunk, too. He dunks pretty decently. He gets a couple of alley-oops once in a while.
The guys, he's nasty. So if you're kind of wondering who the hell is this Dayton team, well, they put together a pretty good resume. They're not a joke of a team. This is, I would say, a little more than, like, you know, your Gonzaga. Like, you know, Gonzaga back in the day was in a really shitty conference. They're in a little bit of a better conference back when Gonzaga was used to. You have a star player. So, again, when we're filling out bubbles, don't just, oh, Dayton, they're going to lose opening weekend. Now, they could easily, but this is not your kind of prototypical, what they do deserve a one seed. Well, you got one of the best players in the country, and you've had a really good season. I'm just saying don't cross them off because that would be a mistake.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. This is going to be crazy, and we're 6 days away, less than 6 days away, technically, to Selection Sunday. I mean, the shit is popping off, no doubt about it. And the crafty crap of the pick of the week to close out that segment. How'd that go last week? I heard that the team that can't defend couldn't defend.
Oh, Lord. Well, the final score was 100-85. The team that stole the Duke Blue Devils logo, I believe the Northwestern State Demons, they shot the ball pretty well that night. They dropped a hundo on Central Arkansas. I get the Bears were in hibernation. Something wasn't going on too well, Chris. Again, 100-85, Northwestern State knocks off Central Arkansas. I believe that puts us at 3-2 on the year. So, you know, we're above 500, you know, for the first year we've done it. Not too bad. Obviously, our football record, honestly, no joke. If you bet our football picks for the past 5 years, we're probably close to 65%. And in Vegas, people want, like, you know, around 58% to be considered a really good gambler. I mean, we're giving you over Vegas picks, despite every year picking a Rutgers or Akron game. It's amazing, Chris, how actually that's turned out really well for us. I got nothing, but it is funny how it always plays out.
All right, man. Oh, well, the next.
Oh, Lord. Wait.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
So let's do one to cap off the year, because obviously come next week we can't do any more because we'll be in March Madness. But since there is another small conference tournament starting tomorrow, the MEAC, Chris, let's finish on a high note. Holy shit.
You're just trying to F up my record here, dude. This is weak.
So,
what conference? Can you name me the conference so I can find the mother effer?
It's the MEAC. It's a 5 o'clock game. Holy God.
And it's tomorrow.
Yes, at 5 p.m.
Not the MAC, it's the MEAC.
MEAC.
Okay, my MEAC. Oh, that's tomorrow. Okay, I was like, I don't have Jesus. A game schedule. Okay.
You just have to go all conference on ESPN for games tomorrow. One team's already been in this segment. We've only done 6 segments this year. One team's already been in it. Well, the Delaware State Hornets are going into the MEAC tournament. You know, they went 5-25 this year. They went 4-12. I believe you actually picked them for a win. Chris, they're playing a team called the Maryland Eastern Shorehawks.
Yeah, that's right. They hadn't won a conference game, and I picked them, too. Jesus. And this is a pick'em game, too, dude. Oh, my God.
Hey, Chris, from that point on, they actually finished the year pretty well, because I believe they're around, like, 1-9. They finished the year 4-12. So, I'm going to give you credit. They actually got hot.
Dude.
They got hot after your pick.
But, I sparked them, dude.
they're playing the Shorehawks, who are 5-26, who are 4-12 in conference. You know, if one of these teams wins the MEAC, I don't know what I'll do. I'll do something crazy in podcast. I don't think it's going to happen, but nonetheless,
dude, it's -105 and -115. Talk about a you had to finish on the pick'em.
A Shorehawk versus a Hornet. I always like to look at it if the mascots were to fight. I think a Shorehawk would take down a Hornet, although a Hornet might be able to sting it.
Yeah, it might sting it like in the beak right before it bites it.
I'm going to let you break this down, and I'm seriously going to see if there's any famous alumni from either of these schools before we wrap up our show.
Wow, this takes the by far, probably the second or the worst. I mean, first of all, it's a Shorehawk, so they're not that strong. They got to stay by the shore. They can't actually go out into the sea because obviously they can't against the Hornets. Wow, this is – I already told you the odds for the game. It's got an over under 144. I'd put that shit at like 160. I mean, the Shorehawks, which I didn't even know there's a difference between a hawk and a Shorehawk, but now I do. This is the educational program. This is crazy, dude. So, the Shorehawks shoot 36% from the field. As a team, and they're 57. They're averaging 57 points a game. They give up 71, which is pretty decent actually, considering. But the Hornets, they're shooting at 41.5 a clip, so they much better from the field. They gave up a ton of points though, 83 points to 73 they put up. Wow, man. Whew. Otherwise, it's a pretty even matchup. How do you shoot 36% from the field as a team? So they've been on a huge losing, you know, run here. I sparked Delaware. This play, it's going to be in the Norfolk Scope Arena. So it isn't just at a conference tournament first round. So neither are at home or away. Maryland's, they're probably going to be able to draw. Well, no. There's no really home there. Wow, dude, this is just garbage, man. Holy cow. Okay, so just to stick with the theme that I somehow picked that the worst of the worst before, the team that you really shouldn't pick, I'm going to pick. Even though it's a 50-50, when you look at what's happening lately, you shouldn't pick them. But I'm gonna. When's the last time they won a game? February 17th, they had a back-to-back win streak. Okay, so they're ready, dude. They're waiting. They're ready. Yeah, I'm going the Maryland Eastern. Like, that's such a weird name. Maryland Eastern Shorehawks. I'm going Maryland Eastern Shorehawks to get it done in the first round of the tournament. They're moving on to the second round. Mark it down.
Well, just for your alumni update stats for both of these schools, I will say I think that Delaware State's a little more of a political type of school. They've had a couple more people who got some flags in the background. I think they've maybe a little more of a business take. Maryland Eastern Shore actually turned out a lot of people pro in football somehow. It's older pictures, but I think they've had a successful program. And the one guy I recognized was Art Shell. The former Raiders coach was a Maryland Eastern Shore grad. So for the sake of alumni status, I think Maryland Eastern Shore takes the cake there. Chris, we will gladly break down that game. And, you know, what's actually funny is someone actually has to win that game. One of those teams is actually going to win a conference game in their tournament, which is so not worthy at all.
Yeah, that's for sure. They both shouldn't even be in it. They should just move to the second round.
the first team should whoever is going to play them just deserves a bye. Hey, y'all won 10 conference games total. It's been real. Peace. So, on that note, Chris, I'll be back next week breaking down that game, and we get to talk about the bracket. Come this time next week on Sunday, it's one of the best times of the year. You get to sit down and kind of fill in the brackets, see where a team's going. you know, one thing interesting, Chris, is that they always the committees always try super hard to avoid teams playing each other. And I know they make it a rule you can't do it for the first round, but it's going to be really hard to actually.
You're saying? For the conferences?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's honestly going to be really hard for the Big Ten, because if they make 10 teams, I mean, just from the law of numbers and the fact that most of these teams aren't going to be 15s or 16s, you're actually going to have a lot of Big Ten matchups, barring some blowouts in the first round, where you're going to have a lot of, like, in-conference teams playing. That'll actually kind of be kind of interesting. They've always made a point to do it, because, of course, you don't want teams to play each other, but
that second round is going to be – I wonder how many second-rounders are going to be that.
I don't know. You literally – because you cannot change a team's seeding for the sake of not letting them play someone in their conference. You got to, you know, call a spade a spade. But I bet there's going to have to be a couple of really interesting second-round Big Ten matchups, or guaranteed, if they make it, some Sweet 16 Big Ten matchups. So if you're a Big Ten fan, man, this is your year to gloat, because it could be a really fun tournament, and you could have potentially five or six teams in your conference in the Sweet 16, which is almost normally unheard of. So we'll be back next Monday. It's going to be a super, super fun show. The bracket's going. Chris and I will make our picks through the first weekend, and I love it, man. This tournament, you have Sweet 16 matchups for a second round of the tournament. It's going to be badass. So until then, enjoy the warm weather. If you're near snow, I hope the snow is going away. If not, stay in this week and watch basketball. The boys are out tonight. Peace.